blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha, again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, for even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
What would you like to look at this morning?
I was just watching when I came this morning, just the ego went through its acrobats about being here. It was fun to watch.
So you had an experience of just watching it, and it sounds like it was enough disidentification that it was fun to watch the antics of ego.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting it. Mm-hmm. And, so I just watched it talk about everything, you know. Fear was there. And I don't, you know, fear of really irrational things, you know. Like I'm going to do something wrong, or the dogs are going to bite me, or, you know, all these irrational things.
So a lot was coming up about being at the monastery this morning. And so there was a lot of conversation about that, about fear about that, and irrational things, like Pache biting you, or,
yeah,
one of the dogs.
I suspect it's a form of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I've been looking at resistance a lot, just in terms of what stops me from doing, following my heart, or being in the moment and practicing often.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another form of it,
mm-hmm.
To try to stop me from practicing, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it does to get me out of the moment.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have been, you know, looking at resistance. It's up for you, so it sounds like naturally mm-hmm. it's going to be coming up in all different areas.
Yeah, it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then I was looking at, it occurred to me, because I've been looking a lot at service,
mm-hmm.
and with the new, with the email class and doing things differently. And that ego has a lot of ideas about what service is.
Mm-hmm.
My ego, and that they aren't, that what it thinks is service, it isn't, that isn't what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just seeing that a lot in my life in general, and sort of a movement away from all of those things that I thought were service,
mm-hmm.
and moving away from those a bit,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of realizing that it's a moment-to-moment thing. There's no projections into the future. There's just now and what's going to happen next. And when I'm reading the emails and doing my own looking at what I can do and commit to, that's what it is. And it might be different tomorrow, or it might be different the next minute, you know. So shaking them off. Oh, what I thought it used to look like, and what it really looks like now.
So there it sounds like there was just this whole what service looked like from ego's point of view, and now coming to this place of what service looks like, what sounds like from the heart's point of view, and realizing that a lot of maybe what you heard about service previously was untrue, and that it may just be an experience of moment by moment, checking in with the heart and seeing what an act of service is in that moment.
Yeah, what the ego thinks is service is to serve it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like, it is going to look good or be great, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, it's going to be like, you know, throughout the culture right now, there's this whole fame thing going on a lot, and so it wants to be recognized, mm-hmm. you know, and that really isn't like even, doesn't even, from the heart's point of view, doesn't even come up, or there's mm-hmm. not any, but the ego wants, like, to do it for itself, mm-hmm. not for other people, or for whatever, you know, just for goodness. It doesn't want to do it for goodness, it just wants to do it for itself.
And it, yeah, it's been my experience that it like holds it up like that's going to bring some kind of satisfaction or, you know, happiness.
Right.
And it's,
yeah,
and it's exactly. always very, it never delivers.
Right.
It's always very.
Well, it's a lie. It's just a made up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was watching people work this morning, just a few minutes before I got here, or before we started here, I was looking at what that kind of service is, of getting the monastery ready for retreats and
mm-hmm.
doing all of that sort of work. It really doesn't have a lot of in it for the ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all, and you know, so the ego is projecting onto it like, well, there's really, that would be boring, or that would be, you know, telling me all these things about it,
mm-hmm.
about doing that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that actually is the work, you know, that was the ultimate service, to not serve the ego,
uh-huh.
to not give it anything.
The ultimate service is to not serve the ego, and maybe even in ways that sometimes, that, you know, to just ways that no one would ever see or recognize, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
It could be just, you know, approaching whatever we do with full attention and kindness, and that being an act of service. The ego would just say, well, that's not going to bring you any fame or recognition.
Yeah, and out there when I'm working, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's people constantly telling me what isn't right, or what is you're not doing, and there's this common practice of making sure everyone does know what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like making sure that you're recognized. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're not, you could get fired, or you could mm-hmm. not get recognized for it, you know, not get a raise, or whatever mm-hmm. it is. It's all set up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a conflict internally for me. And I was seeing too, though, that it'll be okay if I'm not recognized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I could do it that way, and it would be a different way of serving.
It would be a different way of serving to not be looking for that recognition,
mm-hmm.
And to maybe be looking for that recognition internally.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we are so, our culture is so focused on that external
mm-hmm.
appreciation, when in fact the only one that the only appreciation that really matters, you know, comes from within,
right.
comes from the heart. So it is, it's a very different point of view.
Yeah, so it's all enlightening to look at.
It sounds very timely. With
yes.
what's going on with the email class and the whole focus of deepening practice, and I know that's been up for a lot of people to look at service And I think it's really an excellent thing to bring up in group this morning. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I saw something while we were sitting this morning that wasn't new, but I saw the effect of it in a new way. And I think it's related to what was just being talked about. But what I was looking at was, so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden an insight, an idea arises for something that I might do. And there's this little bit of excitement about it, and like, oh gosh, that's so obvious, you know? And then what happens is then ego already decides we have to figure out how actually it would happen. Well, then I'd have to do that, and that would mean doing all of that, and then we'd have to get, you know, and it's like by the time it's done with that, there's, you know, why would anyone want to do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking about the process of being lit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it sounds like you're describing that process where that lit up experience comes and then how it gets taken from us.
Right. But I hadn't, you know, what I hadn't, I mean, I'd seen that process a lot. I mean, it happens to me daily. Like, it happens daily around what's for lunch, you know? All of a sudden I'll go, oh, lunch. And I'll, like, oh, well, let's see, then I would have to, you know, and it just takes it all out of, you know, and I thought this, you know, I've always seen the process, but I didn't quite realize how it's actually, it is a form of resistance, it's a form of killing off, it has nothing to do with actually helping me to know what steps I would have to take to do something.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with making sure I lose interest in doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what comes up for me, it can seem so benign, mm-hmm. you know, like, well, it's just a little conversation about
right.
what I have, but it's actually killing a life,
yeah.
you know, and the joy of life.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, I've just seen it in those little ways, but you know, I can actually project that experience onto some of the responses in the email class. I mean, so, you know, I can see how that could happen, that someone will go, oh, I could do that, and then start going into, well, gosh, how would, you know, I don't see how that would work, and then just going, well, then, never mind, then I think I'll do something easier, or not do anything at all, you know? I just, you know, can, you know, there must be tons of people out there who've been talked out of things by that.
Yeah, what's arising is just what an act of service that is mm-hmm. for everyone to stay with that original lit up experience, and it just gives all of us the permission to do that, to just follow that.
Yeah, it really does, and you know, I think that the whole process that was just talked about evaluating and measuring up and being noticed and rewarded is related to that, because I know in me a lot of how that internal stuff arises of, well, this would have to be done and it would have to look like this, is to make sure that the product meets standards, you know, make sure that it doesn't fall short, that it doesn't get judged inadequately. And you know, gosh, it's been a long time since I've actually been in a workplace that, you know, paid me money or evaluated me or anything like that, but you know, I do it internally, but I used to actually work in places that did that externally, and I remember one place I worked where, you know, we would get an annual performance review, and I don't remember all the categories, but after everything was looked at, then you would be given a rating, you know, and the rating had words that went with it, you know, and the best rating you could get would be exceed standards, you know. And the next one down from that was competent and effective. And I was always competent and effective, and it used to make me so mad that I was only competent and effective. You know, it's like, if there's something better, then that's what I am. But being competent and effective was not good enough.
It's interesting that exceed standards, you know. And yet we all strive for that.
Yeah.
To exceed conditioning standards.
Yeah, because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to exceed the standards. That's how you get the A.
Exactly. It's so interesting how that, and that's not questioned, mm-hmm. and not looked at.
Yeah. So, you know, it just seems like it was also just referred to in the sharing before. It just feels like it's all a process of learning to see through the heart and not the mind. Mm-hmm. But the mind is so familiar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going to the mind and bypassing the heart, which, you know, we all have the experience that we know what it is like mm-hmm. to be in the heart, and it's probably why we're all sitting in this room, to have that support. Penny?
A couple things. I appreciate the reminder about doing things in ways that aren't noticed. You know? Mm-hmm. And part of what I appreciate is that it reminds me that as I go through my life in the world, that there are people doing that mm-hmm. that I never see or acknowledge. Maybe a while ago, yes, we went someplace and we went to a motel. Well, you know, someone set up that room, but you can go in and out of that room and never think of it. Mm-hmm. Think that somehow the room is just there. And so I'm so appreciative when that's calling my attention, because there are people all over setting up my world for my convenience. Mm-hmm. And what occurred to me was, it's a service to recognize that, whether I ever see them or not. Mm-hmm. It's a service to them and me mm-hmm. to just get that.
To just recognize all that's going on to support this being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was just, I really appreciated that being brought up. I also was noticing kind of a scan that condition was pulling on me that feels related to what we're talking about. And I caught it this morning. So I wrote in a response to the email class. And it was about class four. We're talking about sort of, in a sense, what keeps you from being generous, or you know, what gets mm-hmm. in the way. And so I was talking about how one of the big things that gets in the way for me is it's a similar pattern. It's a different kind of standard. But what gets in the way is conditioning, saying, well, but you have to do there are these things that really light you up, but you have to do these things first because these are necessary. And those are...
You have to get ready to get lit up.
it's more like those are gifts. Those are playful. Those are fun. uh-huh. But then these necessary things to do.
Right. Kind of goes back to that we have to suffer, or we have to do the hard things, and then we get to have the good time.
So that was layer one of the scan, which I caught. And then layer two is conditioning then comes in and says, and besides, since what lights us up is being present, then any of those things can light us up. So you should be equally lit up about those necessary things mm-hmm. you do first. Mm-hmm. And the fun moment was when I got, and also being present can be being present to that scan.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. I can be present to the fact that it's saying that to me. And I can choose to do the things that are really fun as well.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have to buy that dualistic either or that I have to do these things all first before I can get to those things. Mm-hmm. So that was just really helpful to me. It was just like I got sort of the next level of what it was doing to me.
Wow. It sounds like just a great catch to see how it, again, it just wants to take our good time and ruin it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then, so this morning, yesterday when I got up, I did some of the necessary things. And it was a dull day. And this morning I got up and I did one of the fun things, and my whole energy system is different. It's so interesting. And I only spent like 35 minutes on it. It wasn't like that. And the other thing it says is, well, if you're going to do one of those things, you have to like set aside the entire morning. So I spent about 35 minutes, and I can just feel the energy is just so different and light. It's so much lighter.
It's very interesting seeing just how that energy is fed by going to that, it's like that initial spark of being lit up is a feeling of energy that just kind of flows into the body. And of course, if we stay with that, it's going to support more energy flowing into the body.
Yep. And then the last thing I noticed was happening during the sit. So then I get going on with one of those things that especially lights me up. And And then my condition wants to do is what was just pointing to, which is to tell me how to do it, and all the stumbling blocks I'm going to run into. And more I find, which is a process, you know, I go through a lot, and more what I find is I start getting into that, and the mentor I trust comes in and says, there's something along the lines of, it'll come, you know, when the time's ready, it'll come, you don't need to think about that. Or it'll just say, don't try. Mm-hmm. It'll be there. When the time comes, don't try. All you're doing now is this. I so appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Because, it just helps. It helps save me from being robbed of the delight, which is conditioning's job.
Yeah.
And I feel like the mentor, you know, the habit we've gotten into of calling upon the mentor has put me in, I find, in a position where I don't even need to call the mentor. A mentor comes in to rescue me, kind of on his or her own. So I really appreciate
it. And the mentor's just really there. And that's just I just love that sentence of, to save me from being robbed.
Yeah.
And again, it just comes back to save us from being robbed of that, of life.
Yeah.
That wonderful feeling of life flowing through us.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, I've been having a workshop on resistance, which was mentioned earlier in the group. And last week on Sunday, I was talking about the practice that we have about without a change in behavior, without a change in consciousness, and that I was seeing a need to stop practicing looking at what prevents being present and moving into practicing being present. And that would be the change in behavior. And so the facilitator very adroitly pointed a question to me about if I was ready to do that, and I kind of hesitated, you know, and I caught it. I thought, there it is, right then in the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to not say yes. I was trying to not commit in front of this whole group, you know, and not to mention whoever is listening on the recording that goes out. I was hedging on, you know, and I caught it in the spot, and I just said yes. And so now this week I've been watching the backlash from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been kind of getting what's happening because it has been, I'll let you talk, I'm sorry. I get so wound up in this, it's exciting to me when I see something and I just want to get to the punchline.
That's great. I mean, I could feel that, again, that lit up experience that behind saying yes and making a commitment. And so, you know, seeing that what's coming up is, you know, you can count on it.
Yeah. And even knowing that, and even knowing that the resistance that has happened this past week, I know that that happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
It has worked up until I saw what was going on, which has been
the resistance has worked up until this time.
Yeah. It's really been effective because what I've seen is that. Information comes in that something isn't working right out in the world, there's some kind of judgment of me that I'm projecting, other people are judging me, or something is not working that starts feeling real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who is lit up and feels excited about the commitment, feels very connected to make that to be there is a very connected place. Mm-hmm. It's a very open-hearted place. Mm-hmm. It's a very vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. It's a very soft and tender
mm-hmm.
energy,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming. It's there's so much gratitude to be able to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a definite experience. It's soft.
Soft. Yes. I keep getting that.
Yeah. And so then things happen, and then the softness kind of just gradually solidifies, you know, it stops being soft. It starts getting hard, mm-hmm. and then it starts getting brittle, and then I'm here and I'm against, or there's an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is what is being experienced, as opposed to the connection that mm-hmm. facilitated the desire, actually. I was mm-hmm. going to say willingness, but actually the desire to commit to a deeper practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, instead of being connected, there's this opposition, and there's this hard energy, and there's this, that. Mm-hmm. I could go on. I think it's kind of a victim place of being done to, and I'm not going to take that, and you know, that kind of, I mean, that's kind of exaggerated of it, but I'm trying to kind of illustrate it. And so then, you know, oh, okay, now I see that. I got duped again. And so now it's just exactly to go back to the commitment to being present.
Yes.
It, you know, without self-hate, with actually gratitude for the ability to, at this point in time, recognize that for what it is, you know, and get off the I'm whatever that place is, that hard place, and, you know, just breathe my way back to being soft and tender and vulnerable again, and really connected with all that is, you know, all that is soft and tender and love, and life is. So, I just went on a little detour this week. But it isn't really, though. It isn't really. It's part.
It just all of these things part of the process. And it seems to me probably never going to get to that place where it's just soft and vulnerable, and we're never going to have the other experience.
Certainly not my experience.
Not my experience. And it's that's life. It's a process. It's, you know, just.
Yeah.
Paying attention and watching, and it sounds like you've just had a really deep experience of what it feels like to be in that heart place versus what it feels like to be in that resistance place.
The heart place and the hard place.
The heart place, the heart and the heart, you know?
Yeah, and I'm seeing that person that gets in that hard place is somebody who really, you know, really needs to be embraced by the softness,
mm-hmm.
and that I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can, or some, not I, but life can, and I can let life channel through here and give that to her, because, she needs it.
What a difference between doing that and making her wrong, and
creating
more resistance.
Exactly.
You know, like just pushing that away.
Well, I was playing with something, bouncing off of the comments about the annual review or the evaluation, and looking at the possibility of doing our own evaluation based on mm-hmm. our joy quotient.
On our joy quotient?
Yeah. And, there was something in there that I saw that I'm afraid it slipped away now, but it's something along the lines of what we're moving toward, and really always being encouraged to do, is appreciate, love, care for the human being that is the only one that we can really do all of that for. And that for us to look at, and we're actually doing that in the deepening practice process, but to look at, where's my joy been this year, and what's kept it from being there when it hasn't been there? So instead of an external, this is what you need to be doing differently, and you've been doing that, you know, all of the things that can happen in an evaluation kind of situation, that we are instead supported to, and this is, I'm looking at mostly internally, supported to. And maybe it's not about stopping things, but adding things, doing the things that create the joy in our lives. And when I am a when I'm in joy, I am of service. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm just walking around twinkling, mm-hmm. or that it's impossible and to me to be feeling joyful without wanting to sort of lift everybody up with me. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of I have to take care of people or I have to do something to make that happen.
It's that pleasant gratitude that comes from being in that joy.
Yeah, yeah. Or, and not even that. It's just that the being in that lightness wants to encourage lightness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It by its nature encourages mm-hmm. lightness. Mm-hmm. Not even that there's a something to do. Mm-hmm. And just really having fun looking at that, kind of turning the evaluation into a I don't know, it feels like it's looking in a different direction. It is looking inward instead of having evaluations come in, but it's turning toward can't find the words. Something that turning toward where all the yeses are and just leaving the no's over there to mold on their own.
So looking in to see where your own yeses are and to support those, that and the being. Is that what you're...
That, I think that fits with, yeah, that fits mm-hmm. with what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm.
Without, and it seems like the challenge in there would be to see, you know, again, who's doing the evaluating about where we are with our joy quotient.
Yeah, sure, yeah. That could be something that certainly we'd want to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
It's putting the emphasis in a different place from mm-hmm. where it typically goes. And turning towards celebration and away from judgment. Yeah, there was something else I was seeing in there that was going on in the conversation. I'll come back if it comes back.
It would be certainly an interesting job review if it was focused on your celebration level.
How do you feel about what you've been doing?
Yeah.
How have your spirits been? Have mm-hmm. you... you know, where is the light room, dark room balance, and are you, yeah, like that. So I'll keep looking. It's a good one. It might be fun just to have a conversation with a mentor about that on a regular basis.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something Sherry encouraged us to do, seems like a long time ago now, but I think it was something she did, like you take a calendar, you know, for the month, and in the evening, at the end of the day, we did it with colors, had a color for it, but it was kind of a mostly resistance kind of mm-hmm. condition day, and then a color for it, but it was we call it more of a, like a lit up day. Yeah, it doesn't mean it was all... but the majority of the day. And I remember, and it sounds like something that someone was talking about, but I remember how effective that was. Because for the first, when I first started doing it, I think my resistant days were blue. There were a lot of blue squares. And it really brought it to my attention, how I was going about my day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. It is. It's true. It's helpful to record those things or put them into a form when we can look at and see a possible pattern.
Right.
You know, and
then what it would do I could see who, as like you pointed out, who's here right now. Mm-hmm. Because what kind of effect did that have? Oh my God, I had a blue day, you know. Mm-hmm. So what could I bring that into the acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the lit up days were yellow. And I did that probably for a year. And I did it until most of the days were yellow.
I was going to ask if there was a change in that pattern.
Yeah, just it was like, well, I don't, you know, it's boring, it's all yellow. You know, I mean, it just naturally stopped doing that. But I'm noticing that you know, now that there's a 30-day retreat in the end of each, there's this evening review.
Uh-huh.
And I do the 30-day retreat all the time, so it's like there's always this evening review. And it's kind of the same thing I look at to see, you know, well, you know, basically what kind of day was I snarly and you know, into resistance or hard, that was a good word, or was it a soft day? And it really is very helpful to, I find, to notice what kind of day it is. And to notice that what it's helped me do is notice that most of the days are really great. And conditioning would have me think, you know, if I'm not paying attention or doing that, that, oh my God, you know, I'm just not good enough, can't do it, you know. But they're not, you know, they're good. I'm good, you know. And it helps me see the places where, you know, I could, what would the word be, a conditioned word, but, you know, with a lot of acceptance, push through, I like that, push through some of the places where I see a resistance come up.
Yeah, it just points to how powerful that is, that practice of just noticing.
Yeah.
You know, and to just watch everything. So.
Yeah, and like I said, like with you, to particularly watch when you're doing it, who's mm-hmm. the one. I mean, it's really good for right there in the moment, knowing, you know, if this conditioning or this or you, so then I go to sleep being me, you know, because I could switch.
So it's really good in the moment and watching what's there, whether it's resistance or being lit up, to just pay attention to who's there at that time.
Yeah, and doing the evening review, and then you can go to sleep being soft instead of
and hard and brittle.
Yeah.
So using that.
If that was who was there.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, it's just kind of, it is kind of a fun, interesting thing to do.
Okay. Jean?
I've been doing the 30-day retreat. And what was just said was really enlightening for me. When I do the daily evening review, I don't know who's there doing it, but it just occurred to me that the consistent message is, boy, you failed today.
Mm. You had a lousy day?
You failed today.
Okay.
And hearing myself say that out loud reminds me that that's been a huge thing in my life, in my practice lately, of being a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came together. Thank you, Sangha. Thank you, group discussion.
So it just came together that's an opportunity to look to see who's there. And then,
yeah, it's that same process.
It's that same process.
It's the same thing. The daily evening review. Whoever sits down to write it sees nothing good. And it's just really good to know that.
It's really good.
Yeah. And and what was said about in terms of being present, not instead of looking to see why you're not present, just be present. Get present. I love that.
Yeah, it's that real difference between a behavior and a noodling.
Yeah. So, what was the other thing about instead of thinking myself into a new way of acting.
Mm-hmm.
Just act myself into a new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually happened this morning. It was pretty wonderful. I would say depressed. That would be the label. And just kind of sat down and got really still. And watched how, and I wasn't thinking about what's going on. I was just kind of hearing what was being said. Just kind of quietly listening to it. Got up, washed the dishes, cleaned off this and that, did this and that, and all this lifted. Mm-hmm. It's not like acting myself into a new way of thinking. It doesn't have to be some interesting, fantastic acting. It's washing the dishes.
But the new way of acting was to just sit still in that. And that, it sounds like,
yeah,
you know, that,
yes,
that feeling of depression,
yeah, yeah,
instead of going to, oh my God, this, you know, more evidence that I'm a failure, you know, to sit still and just watch. And what's sprung out of that is a simple act of just doing the dishes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to willingness. It comes down to, I can sit here in this suffering and spin around and around, mm-hmm, or not. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. So a willingness to have a change in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know I've been engaged in that practice too, of just looking at, throughout the day, like what is really happening, you know?
Yeah.
What's really going on besides that conditioned,
exactly,
spinning out,
yeah,
story that, you know, it's
exactly
so boring.
By any measure, my life is extraordinary.
Exactly.
And gets more extraordinary by the day. I mean, I could go into the lots with that, but I won't, but I just want to assure you that it does. And so that energy that just wants to,
yeah,
maintain itself by suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no.
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 No, you cannot have this extraordinary life.
No, you cannot have this extraordinary life.
For me, that ties back to where we started about with service, you know, like being doing something fantastic or phenomenal to get the approval of or the fame or the or whatever, and it's in the comparison between the kind of experience that one gets when just doing whatever it is that's in front of us with presence,
mm-hmm,
you know, like you know, the bed being made in a motel or something like that. It's like no one else may ever see it or even understand it or think that, you know, all this produce just shows up in the grocery store by itself, and that's okay. But it's like the experience of doing it and being part of, I don't know how to explain it other than that, this phrase keeps coming up. It's a quote by, it's a part of a quote by Martin Luther King. It's being Michelangelo of street sweepers. And I think that's what he was talking about, was being lit up, doing whatever it is that you're doing. And that person who's doing that is having the experience, that changing of the behavior and changing the consciousness. And I've heard story after story about, you know, people just doing things the way they do it with tender, loving care,
mm-hmm,
and that may just be whatever it is that they do, but it has a ripple effect on,
exactly,
everyone else, whether or not that's what's intended or,
right, and whether or not that person is even aware that they're being
aware,
influenced by that,
exactly,
act of love,
yeah,
and generosity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And it's just a, it's such an interesting play between the resistance that would get in the way of living like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've been exploring today was the most powerful form of resistance at the moment right now is a simple word. It comes out like, nah. Exactly like that. Nah. You should pick this up. Nah. Exercise. Nah. I mean, I have to do a cartoon on it because it's just, because, you know, like there's this fire and brimstone, you know, kind of resistance, and then there's the most powerful one of all, which is nah. And it gets me every time because I think I'm thinking it. Okay, it's come from me. You know, come up with it. It's that's the bottom line there. And so, yeah, just I'm practicing with that one. That's the one that's like, if it says that, I have to do it. You know, don't pick up that thing. Y'all pick it. We're going to pick it up.
And how often we don't catch those in the mass.
You know, there's just real.
Real.
It's the really real one.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no. Got to do that because I heard not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so not pleased right now. I can just feel it.
Yeah. So not pleased.
Yeah. That's the whole deal.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. So that's, and in living it just burns that all away because it just can't stand up to being treated that way. You know, I'm supposed to get that, it's supposed to deliver it, and I'm supposed to act that way.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I get to have everything that away. They're just, no, not this, not that, not that, not that. And all of a sudden, it's got me. You know, it's like I can just say that simple thing and I'm boxed in where I am with it.
And this reminds me of something I read in an email class this morning. It can't stand up to it because it's an illusion.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so
every time I just go with whatever it is that I've committed to, I've chosen life over the illusion. That's the yellow and the blue box, or doing a simple thing like an evening review. Have to be disidentified to even be considering doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pick up the marker to color in the square if I hadn't already just, you know, none of that. So it's like, just that very act is going up against the man.
Yeah. Saying yes to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really, it's the smallest thing, but it's like, it starts to build a momentum of its own over the momentum that its conditioning is trying to deliver over and over again.
Yeah. That little, it's like that, I don't know, it's like that drop of water that just chips away, you know, it's just yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's fascinating because conditioning can do the same thing with its no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of which one you decide to fill with, you know?
Yeah. I was just saying that though, came to me, it's like the conditioning, that drop of water is not as substantial as a rock being worn away. It's much more innocent.
Right, it's an illusionary drop.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Illusionary drop.
Yeah. There's something in one of the sutras or something like that of like one good thought eliminates thousands of bad, and one bad eliminates thousands of good.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because either one can be true as an experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, okay, one for one. Which one am I going to pick now?
And it's like keeping that light room, dark room, you know, one for me, you know, all right, you got that one, but one for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden drew a blank about what entirely I was going to talk about. it's like it's coming out of the email class that basically it seems like a lot of people are seeing, and I'm experiencing it too, that it's not that we pick out something that lights us up to do, that's always what I thought the assignment was. You know, you got to find what you love and the money will follow, you know, that kind of thing. And, but But when conditioning is in charge, there's nothing. There's no answer when you look for something that lights you up, because nothing does. It's all bummer. And so if it goes the other way, I realize that I'm lit up whenever I'm present. And it doesn't matter if I'm emptying the trash or painting a masterpiece, right? Mm-hmm. So there is an emptiness. a point to it. That's enough of a point. I know it's about the quality of attention determines that your focus of attention determines the quality of your life. That fits in there because when I'm present and I do the trash, the reason it is a pleasure to do it is because my attention is there if I'm present. Mm-hmm. I'm attending to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I do it with impeccability. Mm-hmm. And it's an act of service mm-hmm. because I'm caring for the environment. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it in a way that I'm putting the trash here and the recycling here and the cardboard here mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying it because it's really nice to do. Mm-hmm. And my attention is there and that's part of it. And so that's the part that I think I'm seeing being pulled into this whole thing about being lit up, is that when I'm lit up, I'm present. And when I'm present, my attention is there. So all of the components are there, just kind of all the components we talk about just kind of all coalesce in that state. So I was thinking that's just really cool to see that's how that's all. That's why it feels so good.
That's why it feels so good to be present, to just really bring all your attention there. To just, you know, that is the experience of being lit up, no matter what you're doing. Maybe you're bringing up the trash, you know.
Yeah.
Cleaning the trash, feeding the cat, whatever, you know. To just bring your full self to that.
Yeah, and that is really what makes a life joyful, mm-hmm. is just being there for it. Mm-hmm. Rather than just going through the motions and not being there.
Yeah. The real difference between, you know, searching for that thing that's going to light us up, so like you said, the money will follow.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to figure this thing out, so that I can have the life that I...
Condition. Yeah, and I can feel like a failure, because if I'm identified, I can't find that thing that lights me up.
Yeah.
And what kind of person is that? Who am I? I can't be lit up because I can't find it.
I can't move till I get lit up.
And it's like a vicious circle. You know, it's like the problem can't be solved by the mind that sees it as a problem, you know. The mind that's looking for what lights it up, or the person that's looking for what lights it up, can't solve that with the unlit up conditioning itself.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love everything that this meeting has been really helpful. Saying no, you cannot have this extraordinary life. And also appreciated hearing people talk about that place of existence and then returning to that soft place. Mm-hmm. And just with a recognition of being duped. I appreciate that, I appreciate for myself being able to have that recognition without self-hate, just a recognition of being duped and returning to to where it is I want to be.
So being, just seeing when you're having that experience of resistance and and recognizing it, and then, you know, conditioning would so love us it to be another opportunity to continue in the resistance with a dose of self-hate, but seeing that that's optional, and can drop that and just come back to the experience that the heart wants.
Yeah. And, also, talk about the lit up place and how everything can have that experience be lit up when I'm really listening to it. It just talked about, and I can also fall for that scam of the message I should be lit up about everything all the time, and therefore having these. The necessary things or the hard things or and then the fun lit up things that that are not given as much center stage. And I've also had the experience of doing one of those and then it influencing everything else. And so today I have a lot of things that actually in fact will take care of me, but they're on the list of not the fun things. And I think that I'm going to choose one of those fun things first, and see what happens with the rest of them.
So you're going to make the priority the thing that lights you up, and to just watch. Sounds like just watch where the energy goes after that, and see.
Yeah.
And the possibility that maybe doing the things that take care of the being might be fine, who knows?
Yeah.
Just watching.
Yeah, and I suspect that they will. Coming from that place. So.
Thank you.
Well, the conversation reminds me of that being lit up is practice lights me up, and so that's what I've been doing. Like, I have to do a lot of those necessary things. It's kind of the job I had to. And when I dread going to work or having something stressful that's going to happen, I've been saying to myself, this is a practice day. And I, you know, the mentor, I think, is saying that to me from recording. The more I record and listen, the more I hear these things. And when I say this is a practice day, then the whole situation changes, and I can make it a practice day, no matter what's happening.
That's great. As you said that, I saw, you know, oftentimes I might refer to, well, that was a good practice day, meaning that, you know, that was kind of hard. But, you know, hearing and you're sharing a shift with that, like to look at a practice day, you know, this is to go into it with that focus and to be noticing throughout the day and watching all the ways that.
Yeah, it switches it around, and it makes it a lit up day for me when I say that. And what I do is I ask, how can I support myself through this? And so then something will come, like whether it's to write down every 15 minutes what conditioning's saying, or if it's to stop and meditate for 10 minutes at lunch, or, you know, or take a walk and record and listen, or, you know, so then all of these ideas start to come about how I can make the day a practice day, which then lights me up. So it's been really helpful.
That's great. You know, it's just like perfect to come around to this at the end of the group. It's like what a valuable act of service for this being and for everyone that you encounter through the day to be in that place of caring for, you know, looking at how to care for this person, and also looking at it from the point of view of practice. I mean, Mm-hmm. You know, what a gift to encounter that kind of energy, rather than someone going through the day going, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. The stay sucks. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which, yeah, and that's how a lot of times I was going through the day, was mm-hmm. just get it done, get it over with, mm-hmm. be finished.
Go to sleep, thinking things will be better
to sleep,
tomorrow.
Go yeah. to sleep, be unconscious, which ends up being not kind or mm-hmm. present to me or anyone else. And so that's what I'm getting from the emo class too, as I look at it. It's sort of like, that's what's so brilliant about it is, and a lot of the other practice things we do that the guide brings up is, it's about the thing, like what was said before about do what you love and the money will follow. Well, that's what, I would think I'd have to go do something mm-hmm. to give it up, mm-hmm. not, you know, and then the money will follow. Well, fine, it's never going to follow because I can't find what the heck I'm supposed to be doing. You know, so that's what the voices tell me. And, well, you don't know what you're supposed to do. You know, you just stay here because you don't know what else you're supposed to do. but it isn't about that. It's just about, so being lit up has a different definition than doing something that lights me up.
Yeah.
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 That's great.
That whole difference between doing and being.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's being a human being. And without conditioning, that's an experience of being lit up.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate this whole conversation and appreciate, I don't think I said it before, all the work that's been done to get this ready for all the retreats and mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm. That's our time.